First, we'll kick off our first regular weekly segment with Lauren Majera from WGN-TV. What's going on, Lauren?
Mic on.
There you go. Boom. How are you, Lauren?
There we are.
What's happening? How are you?
Hey, you know what? We're a work in progress here. This is a new thing for you and I. We got to figure this out, okay? There's going to be some growing pains.
That's okay. I'm all right with that. I'm good with that. What a painful day. Have you had something to drink already today? Because this is like painful to get through.
I will say, I've been wearing black all day. I am in mourning.
Yeah.
Mourning. True mourning.
Yeah, it's not funny. Yeah, I know.
Like we said on my first time on the show, my first day at WGN was opening day of the 2016 season. So that year was just so special, not just in my life, you know, growing up with a diehard grandmother who's a Cubs fan, my father, you know, just being part of it.
Yeah.
After 108 years.
No question.
And my dad used to always say growing up, being a Cubs fan is going to make you a tough Chicagoan, and it's going to build character because you're going to learn how to understand defeat and how to have optimism and keep hope for next year.
Yeah, got to lose to win, right?
Right.
That's a big lesson.
And
there.
You know what? And it was just so special to walk into this job and be able to be there for the World Series, to be at Game 7, to get sprayed with champagne with these guys. I mean, I understand that I'm a reporter. I did not do anything, but you feel like you're part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's just, you know, it is part of baseball. I had a viewer today call the station legit in tears. He was so upset. Oh. And listen, I understand that there is a dark cloud over the North Side today. Mm-hmm. We have to understand this is the ebbs and flows of baseball, though.
I guess so. Yeah, I know.
It really is.
Yeah, but you know what? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, I didn't think Anthony Rizzo was going to be the guy to go. I thought he'd retire with the team, like, you know, with like Ernie Banks or whatever. Like, we kind of all knew Bryant was on the list. We kind of knew Javi was on the list. It's just as it came in one after another, it was just painful. Weren't you at a Cubs game earlier in the week? So did you get to see everybody?
I was there as a fan, though.
Right.
I made the mistake of leaving Monday's game at the bottom of the seventh inning.
Oh, that's when they turned it around, like, next inning.
I missed Baez's walk-off. I was like, classic mistake.
Oh, man.
Classic.
Man.
Isn't that always how it all goes, though?
Yeah, it does.
I was like, man, I'm so hot, and they're down. I don't want to pay for a water. You know, I go to enough Cubs games a year. Of course, that was like a token game to be at.
It was
the last time I'm going to get to see my guys.
Yeah. Well, at least in a Cubs uniform. And that's going to be the most painful thing when we see them come back at some point.
Right.
As a Yankee. We're going to see Anthony Rizzo as a Yankee come back.
I already saw a picture of him in his Yankee uniform today. I don't like it.
Really?
I don't like it whatsoever. It's like seeing your ex-boyfriend kiss his new girlfriend. No. I don't want to see that. And I don't like how it looks. And I don't like the way it makes me feel.
That's a really great analogy. I'm with you on that. I don't even want to look at it. But you know it's going to come. We're going to give him a standing ovation. It's the way it goes. And I don't even want to talk about that. Like, it's just, to me, that was the last guy. And I've got so many friends and family that have such personal connections to him because of his cancer foundation and all the great work he's done. And you know what? And I've talked to him before. I know you have. He's a really nice guy.
That's putting it lightly. Mm. You know, you can always say what Anthony did for the Cubs. You know, of course it can be quantified in accolades and banners.
Yeah.
But what he was as a leader in this clubhouse, what he did for those guys, what kind of a friend he was.
Mm-hmm.
You see it every single game. Whenever it pans to first base, what's going on? Anthony Rizzo's making who's ever on first base laugh.
Yeah, right.
You see who's ever sitting next to Anthony Rizzo in the dugout, they're laughing.
Well,
that's what you see every single day. And what a lot of people don't see is, like you said, what he did with the community, what he's done for children with cancer, what the amount of money that he's donated to Lori's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
raised. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, so Brian, Javi, Rizzo gone. What did we get out of this, Lauren? Like, what was the big trade? What's coming in?
Madrigal. Excuse me, I'll take Madrigal. But what I see is we've got a double A and a triple A team that we're going to watch develop for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to take six. But right now, I mean, they weren't kidding when they said they're sellers.
Yeah.
We got a double A and triple A team.
Yeah.
We got a lot of prospects.
Yeah.
We're going to watch them grow. We're going to watch them develop. And you know what? Here's the thing. The White Sox were in the same position that the Cubs are when the Cubs were winning the World Series. Isn't it funny how the tables have turned?
Yeah. So true.
The White Sox were a double-A, triple-A team with a lot of prospects, a lot of rebuilding, and a lot of growing and developing to do while the Cubs are winning the World Series. And now the tables have turned.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't want to see any more animosity between the Cubs and the White Sox, because you know what? If the White Sox win a World Series here, you can write a thank you note to the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, I know we want to spread the love around Chicago and say, you know, and say we, and I know you go to both games.
It never will be.
We never
give a wink.
Okay, we give a wink.
I'm good
with that. That's good. I'm good with that.
Get Kimbrel next to Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, there's that too. I know. So,
Tempera is not a bad pitcher either.
No.
You're just stacking him in your ruthless bullpen, and that's where they needed some work, was the bullpen.
So who's left that we're excited about that are really going to be the leaders of this team?
Cubs?
Yeah, like who?
Well, we were joking in the sports office. Yeah. We're like, wait, do they even have enough players to play tonight? Like, do we need to call some guys up? Who's left on the roster?
Yeah.
And a lot of times you're looking at some of these lineups. I'm like, who is that? Who is that?
I know.
A lot of times this season, I'm having to look up who these guys are. And that does not happen when you cover a team on a day-to-day basis.
Very true. And my kids were saying to me, like, do we wear our Rizzo jerseys when we go to a game?
I'm like, absolutely. It's like saying, like, do I still wear my Walter Payton jersey? Of course.
Well, unless we're playing the Yankees. I don't know if we're even scheduled for that. But if that's the case, I might keep those at home.
I saw a lot of Derrick Rose jerseys a couple years ago when he was back at the United Center for the first time.
So
a lot of Derrick Rose jerseys.
So in honor of him.
Yes, and I think that Chicago wins when there is a legend like Derrick Rose or Anthony Rizzo. I think Chicagoans are generally pretty respectful of welcoming them back.
We always see that at the Blackhawks games, too, when somebody's back in. Coach, everybody.
Yeah.
We're talking to Lauren Maggiore. There's more next on 720 WGN. We're talking to Lauren Maggiore from WGN TV Sports. So watching the Olympics a little bit here, obviously Simone Biles has just taken a big hold of the headlines, because when we talk about the competition and how hard you work to get to the Olympics every 4 years, you know, she has a pretty big bone to pick with the USA Gymnastics and the USOPC for what kind of happened with the whole Larry Nassar situation. You know, it's taken its toll, and it does take its toll on a lot of these athletes, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one thing people forget is Simone Biles is 24 years old.
Yeah.
That is a great grandmother in the world of gymnastics.
Sure is, yeah.
And the fact that she not only is still competing at the highest level at this age, being the ultimate best gymnast in the world, I think gets forgotten a lot.
Yeah.
You look at some of the other girls, they're all teenagers.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So I think a lot of people forget she's 24 years old and that she's not a kid. She's a grown woman.
Yeah.
And I don't think she gets taken that seriously because of how little she is. And I think of how young these girls normally are. She has a voice. And here's the thing. When I first saw that she had bowed out due to a mental issue, I had to read more about it because I thought she's one of the most mentally tough and physically tough people in the world. I wonder what's actually going on, because there is nothing she has not mentally and physically overcome. So when I read that she had the twisties, I thought, I wonder if people even know what that is.
I say, you say twisties because you were
a Division I gymnast in college and had a scholarship. And so I did gymnastics my whole life. The twisties is one of the scariest things that can happen as a gymnast. So part of gymnastics is not just the physical strength and balance and flexibility. It's air awareness as well. So do you ever see them flipping and twisting and flipping and twisting and know how they go, boom, land on their feet? Mm-hmm. It's because you have air awareness and you have muscle memory and you learn where you are at all times. And another thing that people forget is when you watch gymnastics, they make it look so easy. You don't see the day-to-day crashes and how bad a gymnastics crash can be. So the twisties is when you no one can ever really put their finger on it. I usually would get it if I was really stressed out, if I had a big test coming up, or if I was going through something personally really stressful. Something happens in your brain that you sort of get lost in the air. And when you get lost in the air, that can be deadly. That's like telling a NASCAR driver you're mentally weak because you won't drive at the speeds you do with vertigo.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense then. It's just, I feel bad. Like, you know, when you think about all these girls and how hard they worked to get to this point.
Right.
And for something just to kind of hit the wall like that, it's kind of sad.
I just Google like some of the worst gymnastics injuries that there are. Like, it's so scary. And one thing that stood out to me was Dominique Modugno. She posted on Instagram a really bad crash that she had. She landed on her head on the balance beam. And you forget these beams, they make it look so easy. It's 4 inches wide.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And Dominique Modugno posted, I was 14 years old. She had a tibial stress fracture, let alone no cervical spine exam after her fall. She said she competed in the Olympic floor minutes after. So she said Simone Biles demonstrates that gymnasts should be allowed to have a voice.
Yeah.
If you're interested, go to Dominique Modugno's Instagram and watch this. And she, you have to remember, she's 14 years old with a broken tibia, and she still is able to do this. She just gets up. I mean, gymnasts are so tough. Google worst gymnastics wipeouts of all time.
Okay.
And that's when you are choosing to be at your best. Imagine if you're not at your best. So, like I said, when I first saw Simone bow out due to something mental, I thought it had to do with mental toughness, which I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it was the twisties, I thought, I wonder if people understand what that even is.
Yeah, exactly.
And how dangerous it is. She's choosing that. She's basically saying, I could die if I continue to compete. Also, I could lose this for my teammates if I continue to compete.
Yeah, so that was pretty selfless too. Just saying, you know what? I got to bow out. I'm out.
Right.
Yeah, very cool. Got it. Bears training camp. Watching Andy Dalton, rookie Justin Fields at Halas Hall. I think it gives us some real hope this season, doesn't it?
It gives us some real what?
Some hope.
A lot of hope. And see, I will be the self-admitted, eternal, naive optimist when it comes to the Bears.
I know you do in the beginning of every season. Well, I mean, me too. Like, you're all geared up for that first game, even preseason.
I get so excited.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see them, like, with these plays and training camp. I'm like, we're looking good.
Yeah, yeah.
We're looking good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll see how the season goes. But here's the thing. And I thought, you know, everyone is just kind of ripping on Andy Dalton, saying, well, when is it going to be Justin Fields? What? Here's the thing. They're saying Andy Dalton is QB1, but I'm getting like very deja vu vibes of remember when Mitch Trubisky was drafted and this was Mike Glennon's team and Mitch Trubisky's going to sit and learn under Mike Glennon. Like, how many times did we hear that during training camp?
Yeah.
Cut to week two. Oh, well, you know, we got to give Mitch Trubisky a shot here. I'm like, okay, well, just say what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate when they preach, oh, it's decided for the season in training camp. Let it be a quarterback competition.
Yeah,
this is a competitive sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
rookies can come out and be competitive quarterbacks at this point in the league. Let it be a competition.
Yeah,
let Justin Fields earn the job. Let Andy Dalton earn his job. And here's the thing that I never really considered, that Jeff Dickerson from ESPN made a very good point. He said, "I actually have a lot of faith that Andy Dalton can come out and be a really good quarterback."
Yeah.
I have a really good idea and faith that it'll have to be injury that takes him out, which I don't think anyone's ever really considered.
Yeah.
And who knows? True. That's still a viable option.
It is, absolutely. But this is a chance for, again, and there's audiences being left and there's fans being let in right now with, you know, through a lottery and stuff. So they get to watch some of this as well. But
this
is where they got to prove themselves to the coaches and to the team that they're made for this, right? I mean,
which
this is
the
what
whole
this
point
of
training camp, of a quarterback competition, earn your job.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And you know what? I know that I think it's great that they got to have fans. And I think it's so cool that the way they did it is you have to have the lottery and you have to get a ticket and then you get to go. And I know the players have said they love having the fans there because some rookies on the team or guys who are in their second year have still never played an NFL game in front of a fan.
I know. I was just going to say that. It's crazy. And hopefully, as they're now talking, you know, increasing mask mandates at even Lollapalooza and stuff, I'm like, gosh, I don't want to go back to anything again. So I want to watch the Hawks play. I want to watch the Cubs play. I want to keep doing this, you know?
Yeah. And I went to the first Blackhawks game that they allowed fans at the end of last year.
At the end. Yeah. Yeah.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Did the Blackhawks do it up? I forgot how entertaining, powerful, moving. Being at the United Center for Blackhawks.
Just the build in the beginning is exactly that.
Choked up.
Yeah. I hear you.
I'm like, I can't believe I'm crying. I'm at work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, dear to the national anthem, you get choked up.
I know.
Every time.
And they did this huge video where they said, first you were here, and it's showing fans cheer. And it's like, and then you were not. And it was like crickets in the United Center. Yeah, and it's like, but we together, we stand. I was like, yeah, Chicago. It was so moving.
I love your motivation.
I had goosebumps and it was
man.
So good. And it was like, welcome back. Edited. Oh my gosh. It was so good. I loved it.
Felt great. Absolutely. Before I let you go, because I got a couple minutes here, is I was watching that you participated in some murder mystery thing that took 7 months to solve. Okay. I got to tell you, that looks so damn cool. Like, tell me, what is that? What is that?
Okay, so I'm obsessed with escape games. They're so fun.
Okay.
But during the pandemic, I mean, you could only get so many people together in an escape room.
Sure.
So I realized that you can buy these, like, box sets of murder mystery games and escape room games, and you can do them at home, which is, like, pretty fun. And so I started just buying a bunch of them and just getting together with friends and doing them. But everyone I had done is like a sit alone in itself, you solve the murder. So I didn't really look too much into when I was buying this specific one. It's called Hunt a Killer.
Okay.
And so we get the box. We get a box of evidence. I get together with my friends. We're so excited.
Yeah,
we have pouring off over all this evidence. We're putting together timelines. We're lining up suspects.
That's
awesome.
There's
like an online portal where you can look at like all these different, you know, pieces of evidence, and there's physical evidence. And then we realize what the murder weapon is. And then we realize, wait, this is a 6-month subscription. This is just week one. All we had to figure out was the murder weapon. And it was like January. And we're like, wait, we're not going to finish this until like June or July.
This
and
is
it was
a really
like,
long clue game is
what
this
is. We
had
no idea. And my friend is like, because it was like the dead of winter in January. And he's like, we're going to be wearing shorts and flip-flops when we solve this murder. I'm like, you have got to be kidding
me. That is awesome. And there's got to be cocktails involved in this, too.
Yes, a little bit. But here's the thing. Not too much, because you're deciphering
gotta stay focused.
Codes.
Gotta, yeah, you got
to
stay focused.
And you have to pore over evidence, and you have to pay attention to things. And like we learned the hard way on week three of like, you have like a like one too many glass of wine. You just start to get chatty and like easily distracted. And then you're like, wait a minute, what are we doing? What are we? And so the people I do it with, we take it really serious, and you have to stay focused.
That's awesome.
It is. It's called Hunt a Killer, and I would totally recommend it for like the winter.
The winter months.
Okay, like November, January, March, April, May.
Gotcha. All right.
It was so fun.
Catch Lauren on WGN TV Friday nights at 6:40, 9:40 on GN Sports, 10:30, 11. Saturdays at 5:50, 9:50, and 10:20. And soon a Saturday edition coming up on GN Sports. Thanks, Lauren. Always a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
Love having you on. Thank you.
Take care.